Well, but your woodwork, I guess. I don't know. My nickname used to be Prophetic, but now for the last year and a half, it's been my real name, RSM. Yeah, let's say that, Karen. That would work. All right, we're going to start. Praise the Lord. Welcome, Rosebuds. We're going to start in 2 Peter chapter 1. Now, I want you to tell me, and we're going to deal with this in detail. 2 Peter chapter 1. We're going to deal with this in detail. I want you to tell me what Peter's talking about. I want you to tell me what Peter's talking about. Praise be to the God. This is verse 3 verse 3 of 2 Peter. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us. Now, first of all, we've got to establish where our knowledge of Him comes from. Now, this is real important. What we seek to do tonight is to establish beyond doubt where our knowledge of Jesus comes from. I want you to, as we go through, let's start with the beginning. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him. What is His divine power? What is His divine power at work in you right now? Break it down. What is divine and what is power? Very good, Karen. Absolutely. Teresa, Kathy, the Holy Spirit. That is His divine power that's at work in you right now. The Holy Spirit is His divine power at work in you right now. Hold on just a second. Let's look at a couple of verses. And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. Let's break that down. Jesus is declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness. Now, you're going to be studying in 2 Peter chapter 1. But He's declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness. So that power comes according to the Spirit of holiness. What is the Spirit of holiness? It's called the Holy Spirit, right? How many of you see that? And that is the working of that power that raised Him from the dead. That is the mighty working of His power that raised Jesus from the dead. The Holy Spirit quickened His body. In the very same way the Holy Spirit quickens the Word that's planted in your heart. Jesus' body was planted into the tomb, and the Holy Spirit quickened it to be raised. The Word of God has been planted in your heart, in flesh, this body of death. And it is the Holy Spirit that quickens it and makes it alive. It's true in both cases, isn't it? And Jesus Himself is the Word. All right, let's look at another verse. Now, we've established that the power, the divine power, Spirit. Here's another verse. Romans 15:13. Now, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope, the hope of the resurrection, through the power of the Holy Ghost. Through the power of the Holy Ghost. How much more do we need? How about the same mighty working of His power? Paul's teaching. My speech and preaching was not with enticing men, words of men's wisdom, but its demonstration and power. His teaching. It was the power of the Spirit made it living water in people's hearts, right? That your faith should not rest in the wisdom of men, but the power of God, the Holy Spirit. It's not just sola scriptura. It's not just words. It's power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Those words have to be activated through the Holy Spirit in you when the word is planted. When we're gathered in the name of the Lord Jesus. When we're gathered together, my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus. And that's the Holy Spirit, isn't it? You know, we could go on and on and on and on and on. It is to say, it tells us that this is an exceeding power to us who believe, according to His mighty power. So, have we that 2 Peter, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him. So look what it's saying. What is our knowledge of Him? We know what his divine power is. Now, what is our knowledge of Him? Somebody, what is our knowledge of Him? Yeah, the Word by itself, there's no power in it. Words. Like a body that's buried, there's no power in a body that's buried of itself, is there? It must be quickened through the Holy Spirit, right? What empowers the Word is the Spirit. Jesus planted in death, but it's the Holy Spirit who raised Him. Just like it happens in your heart. And we're going to get to that. But let's look at this. What is our knowledge of God? Right? His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Yes, by the power of the Spirit, the throne of grace, God did raise Him. How is God's grace demonstrated to us? Through the Holy Spirit, right? Let's not get too technical here. What is our knowledge of Him? What is our knowledge of Him? Isn't that the Word? Is our Word the knowledge of Jesus? Is the Word the knowledge of Jesus in us? And what quickens that knowledge? The Holy Spirit. The Word and the Spirit work together. So His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him. In other words, the Holy Spirit has quickened us through the Word. Break it down. It's a saying. When it says His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him, it's telling us the Holy Spirit has quickened us through the Word. The Holy Spirit has quickened the Word in us. The Holy Spirit doesn't speak apart from the Word. So through our knowledge of Him is the Word, and the devourer is the Holy Spirit. Is this true or not true? Let's see if we can agree on some basic things here. Listen, exactly. It's just not pretty words here, guys. These things have meaning. All right. So His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him. The Holy Spirit has given us everything we need for life and godliness through the Word. Who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these He has given us very great and precious promises. Through these what? Through these, His divine power and our knowledge of Him. Through these, He has given us very great and precious promises. See, through the Word, He has given us promises, and by the Spirit, those promises are true. They're activated by the Spirit, aren't they? Through the Word, He has given us very great and precious promises, and by His power, we know those promises are true. How many of you can see that? The Word and the Spirit working together. Through these, He has given us very great and precious promises, so that through them, you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. What is participating in the divine nature? It is participating in the power. It is participating in the Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit's power, word in you, you now can be a participant in His divine nature, which is God's Spirit, that portion of Spirit that was given to you. Is this true? That portion of the Holy Spirit each one of us received when we believed makes us a participant in the divine nature. And how did that happen? The Spirit quickened the Word in you. Right? How many of you can agree with that? Come on, let's participate, guys. True or not true? Okay. To them, His divine power and the Holy Spirit and the Word, you may participate in the divine nature. It's a corruption of the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, now that's saying the same thing Jesus said. Whoever hears my words and puts them into practice is like one who has built his house on the rock. When he says this, treason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in the Word. Right? You will see results if you put them what? Into practice. Anyone who puts my words into practice is like one who has built his house on the rock. Anyone who hears my word and does not put them in practice, Matthew 7, is like one who built his house on the sand, and great was the fall of the house. And if anyone does not have these qualities, he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten he has been cleansed from his past sins. You must continue to grow. I just remain a babe. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you'll never fall, and you'll receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So Peter says, now this is basic stuff. Right? It's basic stuff. The Holy Spirit, the God's divine, makes you participant in God's nature, the Spirit, by the Word, by the knowledge. By quickening the knowledge of the Word to your heart, you are made a participant in the divine nature. God's Spirit can dwell in you. And this will give you everything you need for life and godliness, so that you can actually put the Word into practice and it not just be dead inside you. And it will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in the Word, so that you're not just a hearer only, but a doer. Right? This is about growing past being a baby. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you'll never fall. And you'll receive a rich wealth, the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So I'll always remind you of these things, these basics. To basically how it works. The Holy Spirit quickens the Word, and you act upon it in obedience. Right? And it builds character in you. And even though you know and are firmly established in these truths that you now have, I think it's right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body. Peter's saying, as long as I'm here alive in this body, death, this tent. Tent is a temporary dwelling. As long as I'm his body, I think it's right that I remind you of these things. Because I know that I will soon put it aside, this body. It's going to die. The Lord Jesus has made clear to me. And I'll make every effort to see after my departure, after I die, you'll always be able to remember these things. Now, how's he going to do that? How's he going to make sure that we'll always be able to remember these things after his departure? He's going to write them down, huh? That's why we have this scripture, because he did what he said he would do. He wrote it down. Now listen to what he says about writing it. We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, This is my Son in whom I love, and with him I'm well pleased. We ourselves heard this voice which came from when we were with him on the sacred mountain. And he's talking about the Mount of Transfiguration, when him and James and John went up and seen him transfigured, and heard the voice from the majestic glory saying, This is my Son, and in whom I'm well pleased. So when he says that we did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus, but rather we were eyewitnesses, what does he mean by cleverly invented stories? What's he referring to? I'm going to shock you, many of you. He's referring to the Scriptures. Because apart from the power of the Spirit, all the Scriptures would be is cleverly invented stories. As far as the world's concerned, huh? I want you to think about this. Without the power to make the Word living and active in your heart, without the Holy Spirit to quicken that knowledge of Him, what would it be to you? Because the fact is, without the Holy Spirit, firm it to your heart, what reason would you have to believe it? Just because a man told you it was true? If just to read the Scriptures, it'd be another book on the shelf, wouldn't it? It'd have a lot of pretty stories in it, but you wouldn't know whether or not to believe it. And this brings us to the heart of the matter. How do you know? Not somebody else. You know that the Bible is the Word of God. Well, let's answer that. Because if you can't answer that, nothing else we're going to talk about today will have any meaning. If you cannot answer why you believe, not why somebody else believes, not why scholars believe, not why so-and-so believes, why you believe the Bible is the Word of God, if you cannot explain that and give an answer for your faith on that, then all of this other stuff is moot. It's a waste of time. You have to know why you believe the Scriptures are real. Peter's telling you why he knows that they are more than clever stories. He's telling you why he knows that they are not just cleverly invented stories. We didn't follow just cleverly invented stories. We are eyewitnesses to those Scriptures coming true in Jesus' fight. We heard the voice from the majestic glory saying, This is my Son, in whom I'm well pleased. The very ones the Scriptures would come did come, and they witnessed it. See it? Let me tell you something. You cannot be a witness to Christ if there's nothing in your life to witness to. And you cannot, that the Bible, what we call the Word of God, truly is the Word of God, unless you have revelation from God that it is. And look at that. Can you believe a scholar? Oh, they've got lots of credentials. Many of them are very famous. W.E. Vine, Strong. Very famous guys. Translators of the King James Version. Very, very educated guys. We got lots of them. But they're men. Aren't they? They're just men. Can you take any man's word for it? No matter what he claims. No matter credentials he's got behind his name. Oh, they can't tell you the origin of the Bible, can they? Because they weren't there. They could maybe even be telling you the truth that it was there. That they know it because God told them. But how do you know that? See, remember, the important point is what somebody else knows. It's what you know. How do you know that the Bible is the Word of God and not just cleverly invented stories? How do you know that? Not how somebody else knows. How do you know? There's only one way. You had to hear from God. You had to hear from God. Because the fact is, you can't just take a man's word for it, can you? Is there anybody in that is comfortable with just taking a man's word for it? I don't care what kind of scholar he is. I don't care if he's the best scholar that ever existed. Are you comfortable in just taking a man's or an organization's word for it that what we have here is the Word of God? How do you know it is? See, that's important to you. It doesn't matter what other people think. It's a matter of what you know. How do you know that the Bible is the Word of God? There's only one way you can. Jesus said in John 17, says eternal life. This is eternal life, that you know God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. I don't believe the Bible because the scholars told me it's the Word of God. I don't believe the Bible because of the historicity of the document. I don't believe the Bible because this is what the early churches thought was the Word of God. I don't believe the Bible because it tells me that Moses wrote the first five books. I don't believe the Bible just because of this, because with the power of the Spirit, all the Bible would be to me or you or anyone else is a book of cleverly invented stories. Isn't that the truth? If you could not confirm this by hearing from God, and God himself telling you, this is my word, by how does he tell you? By the Spirit. Hello? Jesus said, I'll leave you as orphans. You don't have to play guessing games. I won't leave you as orphans. It's good for you that I go away. Because if I go away, I'll send you the Comforter. And he will lead you and guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit of God that witnesses that the Word of God is from God. And if you don't know God, then you don't know the Bible is true. And you'll find that the Holy Spirit and the Word work together. The Holy Spirit confirms the Word, and the Word confirms what the Holy Spirit says that you're dealing with. The bottom line is you've got to meet God. This is eternal life, that you know God, and Jesus Christ to me is sent. Can you see the figure in there that knowing God is knowing the Holy Spirit, and knowing Jesus whom he has sent is knowing the Word? Is Jesus not the Word? God sent the Word from heaven. God, and Jesus Christ whom he has sent, is to know the Holy Spirit and is to know the Word. Because together they testify to you, Father is. And this is an unshakable foundation to hear from God for yourself. And you're going to see that this is the basis of all that we do and teach in this room. The bottom line is you must meet God. That you cannot take a man's word for squat. Because men make mistakes. Men are liars. Men are temporary. Men screw up. Men have a fallen nature. Men make mistakes. Men can't be trusted. Men disagree. And if you're caught between the opinions of men about what is from God and what is not from God, then you're a screwed up person indeed, because you'll never be sure in your heart what the truth is. But if you hear from God, if you meet God, and you come to know him through his son Jesus, by the power of that Spirit to make the Word live in you, then you're sure. If the Holy Spirit quickens the Word in you, then you're the third witness. The Word witnesses, the Spirit witnesses, and they come together in you, and you become that soul, the third witness. The joining of those two testimonies together, that yes, true. And let me tell you a truth, it doesn't work any other way. I don't care how many seminaries you went to. It doesn't work any other way. I don't care how many theological terms you think you know. It doesn't work any other way. So Peter is saying, we didn't just follow. We didn't just follow cleverly in Venice. We didn't just look at the Bible and say, you know, and let it tell us what to think. But we seen those scriptures proved true. Through Jesus, we were eyewitnesses that he is the Messiah. We heard the voice from the majestic glory saying, this is my, in whom I'm well pleased. They heard the voice of God. It's God who confirmed to them that Jesus was the Messiah and that the Word of God is true. So it became more than just cleverly invented stories, didn't it? It became the living, active, breathing Word of God embodied in Christ, whom they knew. And we have the Word of the prophets made more sin. And you'll do well to pay attention to it, as to a light shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. How does he have the Word of the prophets made more certain? They're not clearly invented stories, that's why. They're made more of the Spirit. They're made more certain because we were eyewitnesses there and we've seen Jesus transfigured. We know who it is we're dealing with. We heard the voice of the living God. And now our testimony, joined with that testimony, gives you a better testimony, doesn't it? More witnesses. Now you have a more complete testimony. We were there. We've seen it come true. We have the word of the prophets made more certain. And you will do well to pay attention to our testimony as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. So what's he saying? Until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. God out and said, light shine of darkness in us. He said, let there be light when we were totally in darkness. And the light separated the darkness from the darkness. Separated the day from the night. That happened in you. And the morning star has risen in your heart, hasn't it? When the Spirit quickens the Word. Through the testimony. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. This tells you something about men's opinions, doesn't it? They're worthless. They're worthless. Men's opinion cannot save you. Men's ideas are worthless. Unless they can guide the Spirit through the Scriptures, they have nothing to share with you of any merit. You must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man. But men spoke from God as they were carried how? By the Holy Spirit. This brings us back to the first verse, doesn't it, in verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need, life and godliness, through our knowledge of Him. The Holy Spirit has given us everything we need for life and godliness through the Word. And people who wrote the Word, prophecy never had in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Can you see what's being done here? A foundation is laid for your faith. Paul confirms it in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Listen to what he says very clearly and how it lines up with this. And you'll see there is no other way. Paul says, when I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom. I didn't just come to you as some smart guy. I didn't come to you as just the great apostle, the guy, you know, Paul. As I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to you in weakness and in fear, with much trembling. My message, my preaching, were not with wise and persuasive words. It wasn't me trying to convince you. It wasn't my eloquence got you. I came to you as just a guy. I'm a nobody, and God is everything. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. It took the Word to activate it in people's hearts. The Spirit to activate the Word in people's hearts, didn't it? And that's what Paul depended on, for God to do what God does. One can plant, one can water, but only God can make. So my message and my preaching, and you can see it's not just about miracles here, it's about His message and His preaching. They were not with wise and persuasive words. A dependency on the flesh and a carnal mind, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that you might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. And we have each been given a token of that, the Holy Spirit, to dwell in us. And this makes us partakers of the divine nature, so that we can enter in and come to know a holy God in communion through the body and blood of Jesus and His righteousness, and come to know God. And through coming to God, we don't just hear what men say about God, we meet Him. We can say just like Peter, that we're witnesses, because we met Him. Like Peter can say, I was on the majestic mountain and I was there, I met Him, I held Him, I touched Him, and I heard the voice from the majestic glory saying, this is my Son, in whom I'm pleased. That's what Paul says in Galatians 1. No man taught me this gospel. Listen to what he says in Galatians 1. I didn't receive it from any man. No man taught it to me. I want you to know, brothers, verse 11, Galatians 1, that the gospel I preached is something man made up. It's not cleverly invented stories. See the comparison? That's what they're talking about, and that's all the scriptures would be without the Spirit. That's all that we could know them to be. We could never be sure. But I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel I preached is not something that man made up. I didn't receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, either I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. By the Spirit. What did John say in 1 John? What about the gospel he preached? That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and have touched, this we proclaim to you concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we've seen it, and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father has appeared to us. There's no substitute from hearing from God. There's no substitute from being one-on-one with God. And do you think that these apostles would want you to receive it any other way than though they received it? By revelation of Jesus Christ, through the Spirit, and by the Scriptures. And through that Spirit, you can become a witness to Christ. Because if it's just based upon what He told you, then it's nothing but hearsay. You don't know it to be true. If you were raised in a religion, you don't know it to be true. You were just raised that way. That's what Mom and Daddy told you. If you were raised as Assemblies of God or Baptist or Methodist, how do you know it's true unless you meet Him yourself? That's the only way you can be sure. There is no substitute for that. This is eternal life, that you know God and Jesus Christ whom He has sent. That's the foundation of your faith. And you cannot be His witness based on hearsay. Only if the Spirit quickens the Word in you can you become that third witness. Only then can you tell people, well, you should take my testimony as a light in a dark place. I met Him. I was there. I know what He's done. The Holy Spirit, I have met Him, and He's come to life in me. And He's made the Word living water in me. And I can walk by a power that's me. I know Him. You can't be a witness to Christ if there's nothing in your life of Christ to testify to, is there? Can you? It doesn't work that way. And that's why the intellectual way of approaching God is messed up. It's wrong. Learning a bunch of doctrines is not how you know Christ. It's not what you know, it's who you know. And then what you know proceeds from who you know. But we have a whole generation who values the wisdom of men above the power of God. And this is why we have, because what they heard, they didn't heard from God. They heard from men who say they heard from God. That's why we have division. Because men are more proud of their opinions instead of submitting themselves to the will and power of God. Let you not be counted among those. You must meet God for yourself and His voice. You must be sure the Word of God is of God. Because if you can't be sure, then all they are is cleverly invented stories. That's all they'll ever be to you. And have no place of presence in your life. And you can learn them carnally. You can learn the Scriptures carnally. But guess what? The Apostle Paul knew them carnally when he was Saul of Tarsus. And they didn't help him. In fact, he was going out to slay the people of God. He was a doctor of the law. He knew the Word as it existed then. upside down and backwards. But he didn't know the author, and he didn't know what it meant. It was all there in him and dead. And it took the Holy Spirit to lift that word up inside and make it real and make it alive. Just like it takes the power of the Holy Spirit to lift up the body in the grave, so it takes the Holy Spirit to lift up the word in your heart when it's planted. Unless the seed falls into the earth and dies, it can't live. It's the Holy Spirit that quickens it, so that you can walk in the power of God instead of the wisdom of men, which is not. This is the foundation of our gospel, my friends, and there is another way. And you're going to hide everything you've learned in the past and begin again afresh along this path. This path, no other. You must humble before God and His Word and allow God to, through the Holy Spirit, to quicken the Word in you so that your testimony is experience and not hearsay. Then you'll no longer be tossed as infants back and forth by the wills and the wiles of the devil and the doctrines of men and demons. You can be sure. I want to speak one more thing. Man-made doctrines. Calvin. Calvinism's man-made doctrines. How's that? That's one you'll like. I'm going to read you this from Peter. In 1 Peter, he tells us, just a second, hold on just a second. Listen to this in 1 Peter verse chapter 4. Listen to this in 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 11. If anyone speaks, he should do so as one speaking the very words of God. In other words, as it says in the King James, as an oracle of God. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides. That's by the Spirit, huh? So that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory forever and the power forever and ever. Amen. You should not be a teacher or a preacher or leading anybody else if you cannot speak as an oracle of God. Those men are called. How can they preach unless they are called? A seminary doesn't make you a preacher. And learning hearsay and doctrines and Calvinism doesn't make you a preacher sent from God. An oracle of God is one who speaks God's words and doesn't speak his own opinions. And he says them clearly and absolutely so that you can know the absolute truth. He doesn't make up his own ideas or his own opinions or lean on the other opinions of men. He hears from God. And these people who are trying to get you to live by opinions are luring you away from the purity and sincere milk of the Word. Your dependency is on the Spirit by the Scriptures. And you can know the truth. You don't have to vary and labor between men's opinions. You don't have to. You can hear from God. And let me tell you, anybody who's a teacher that's sent from God will not just teach you what they know or what think they know, but they will guide you through the Scriptures to help you get the tools you need to seek God for yourself. They're not going to do it for you. But they're going to tell you the truth. And they're going to speak it absolutely. Because it's not an opinion. It's God's Word. And unless they can speak, if you're in a place where they're saying, I think maybe this and possibly this and this might be this, blah, 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 you better get out of it. Because that's not of God. And if their dependence is on theology or Luther's theology or any man's theology or Hagen's theology or Copeland's theology or this theology or that, get out of it. Because it's just men's opinions. And they'll lead you straight to ruination. Hear from God. Hear from God. That we may be of one mind, one faith, one body, because God's not going to tell you a different gospel than He tells me. It'll be by the same Spirit, the same baptism, the same Bible, the same Word, and we'll be one. This is the only way we see a unity of the faith, is if you humble yourself before God, and I do too, and we become one by the living God, not dependent upon men or ourselves.